At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Today, an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online that will haunt your dreams for weeks. Military housing, from barracks to residential homes. One can hardly deny a specific energy to these locations that many call home for significant portions of their lives. But what happens when those who call these places home never come back to spend a living night in one? Can the horrors of war make these locations prime targets for paranormal activity? We ask the question, and much more, on today's chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And if you like the show, be sure to press subscribe. Just do it right now. Or follow or plus or whatever it is on the platform you're listening to us on. You don't miss any episode of the program. Brand new episodes for you all week long. And those EPP bonus episodes, we put those out every single week too. Packed with some of our best ghost stories. If you want that, you got to become an extra podcast person, or as we call them, EPPs. Get access to the bonus episodes, the archive, which is thousands of episodes, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories is what it is. You get all that commercial free. Check it out through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, friend, how's it going tonight?
It's one of those nights where I'm watching. It's a crazy weather week as we record this. We got the chance of severe weather here in the next couple of hours. So I've been keeping an eye on that. I even parked my truck in the barn tonight, just out of concern that maybe we're going to get hail. Then tomorrow, I'm giving you your 5-day forecast. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, a high of only 28 degrees. And then as we move into Wednesday, winter storm watch in effect, but we could get up to 1 inch of ice between Wednesday
like
and Thursday.
1 inch of ice is a lot of ice.
That's a lot. That's
a lot of ice.
The terminology that was used is one of those like where you read it and you're like, oh, they
trees
don't
come down.
Yeah, they don't usually say things like that often. Sleet and freezing rain are expected to be the most impactful in precipitation. Oh, shit. We just got a tornado watch. I'm trying to, because maybe they changed it. Oh, power outages and tree damage are likely due to ice. Travel could be nearly impossible. There we go. So,
That's fun. So crazy.
No tornado watch till 4 a.m.
It's 70 today and 20 tomorrow.
Yep. That's what we had here.
That's how people get sick.
Yeah. And I've been feeling off all day, too. I've been feeling like, eh, just kind of, I don't know. Not in a
but
great.
We're supposed to get some snow on Thursday, but that's it. We don't have all that other shit.
Yeah, we got ice storm potential, but now a tornado watch. So,
well, how delightful.
Isn't it? The fun, the hits just keep coming. They don't stop till we reach
awesome.
The top. Good times. So maybe some of the show I'll be doing here on a dark and stormy night. Yeah, that's a strong line of storms coming in. All right. Well, let's get to it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First story says pertaining to haunted items. Doesn't matter if they're clothes, jewelry, etc. If the emotion tied to an item are strong enough, i.e. violent, emotionally charged, they can imbue to the article with an attachment to the spirit world that can act as a conduit for the person who owned it, a demon, an angel, or any spirit that is close enough to latch onto it. I can give you examples of Carrie King based his story on a real event that happened in Maine. A 16-year-old girl bought a dress secondhand. It had been used as a dress that was on a corpse that was involved in a particularly bloody and gruesome murder. Vibes attached to the dress combined with the chemicals that were used to preserve the body combined to drive the young lady nuts, and she attacked her high school prom. It was bloody and it was gruesome. Legitimately seeing people that follow you, that's freaky and true. I've seen my deceased mother many times in my life. I have heard the radio in the middle of the night from an interior wall heater, footsteps behind me when no one is there. A tall man outside of my window many times when I was 4 or 5 was terrifying. This guy, whoever he was, had to be 7 feet tall. He'd stand outside my bedroom window. Sometimes it would be closer or closed, sometimes further. Sometimes I could hear him walking toward out the back door and rattling the slider. Sometimes I could almost hear him speaking, but at those times, I would hide under my blankets. It would always be at my window, though. Dude was terrifying. I was a bit of a loner kid, though. I just seemed to know things. I'd get a feeling when something bad was going to happen. As I've gotten older, I've gotten to where that feeling isn't as prominent anymore. I still feel it from time to time, but not as much as I did when I was a kid. I do want to say that, as a parent, I find it completely awesome that you include your daughter in your podcast. She says X has an excellent sense of humor and a great view of the world, well-rounded and open-minded, just not so open that her brains have fallen out. Great job. I'm an avid listener of the podcast. Keep it up. You remind me of my favorite radio show hosts, Art Bell or Rusty Humphreys. I have a ton of stories I could tell you. Hopefully, I get to tell them soon. Keep scaring and caring. Ghosts are most often only spirits with unfinished businesses, but sometimes they are, well, demons. And those lie to you. They only want to use you and make you believe that they have your best intentions in mind. They'll use you and throw you out. Don't trust any spirit that you see or speak to. They may be completely harmless, but they may have been corrupted even without knowing it. Always stay safe when dealing with the departed. You know, it's interesting, you know, the way that they were describing a demon there for a second, where it's they'll lie to you and they'll use you, and like that's a lot of humans too. So I mean,
I was gonna say I dated that guy.
Like, I
dated him more than once.
A lot of people out there that fit that description, and are they demons too? You know, and if you do that in life, you could probably still do that in death. But does that make you a demon? Or I don't know. It's yeah.
That's a really good thing for me to think about, because if you're a total dick in life, wouldn't you be a total dick when you're a ghost? And would that be borderline demon behavior?
Yeah.
Right? So how would you really know? Because I think that you being a dick would be amplified once you've come back as a ghost. Like, you thought he was an asshole back then. Now.
Yeah.
Because now he's got something to prove. I can scare the shit out of everybody.
That's
and the first thing about the dress. That sounded very much like the movie Carrie. with the dress and the, how horrible everything was, I'm like, that's Carrie.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that Carrie was based on anything, though.
Well, it sounded like Carrie. I don't know that.
No, that's what they said. They said that Stephen King based Carrie on that story.
I didn't realize that was, yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
I didn't either.
But I do get that bringing stuff home. Like, I don't, like, okay, so I'm not ever going to bring home a dress that a dead person wore and all that stuff. But anything that, like, I got a chest of drawers from my friend Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been in Lynn's house forever. It was in her basement. And then she had a garage sale and it didn't sell. I didn't go to the garage sale. I'm like, hey, I need a chest of drawers. So they brought it over. I'd never seen it before. And once they left, I'm like, I don't know if I'm comfortable having this in my house.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's just a damn chest of drawers. It's been in Lynn's basement for years. It's fine. But I had a really weird feeling about it.
Have you?
I'm going to have to sell it. Got to get rid of it.
So
nothing has happened.
Yet.
Exactly. It could.
You never know what exactly is lurking in that chest of drawers. I don't know.
When I was in radio, I had this listener that brought me like an Abe Lincoln bust. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking about it when I first started doing the show, but it was big. Like, it's like life size head.
Yeah.
And it's a really big bust. And I got it home and I was kind of freaked out by it. And I like Abe Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And I have another Abe Lincoln bust. I didn't have a problem with that. But it's something about this one. I just didn't know where it'd been. And somebody's estate sale. I'm like, I don't know. And he's fine. He's never done anything weird.
Was it a contaminated?
And if he did, I would hope it would be done in some sort of Abe Lincoln way and not like it was my possession. I'd rather it be Abe Lincoln.
You never know exactly what old Abe is going to be up to. Middle of the night, he's watching you. He's watching your every move. Or is he? He is. It's Abe the Head. Sundays on ABC. And Abe gives out like personal advice and relationship advice. But he's also really creepy too. Like in the middle of the night, he'll be like, boo.
And do you really want Abe's relationship advice? You know what his wife was like.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas returns to television as Abe Lincoln's head. You loved him on Home Improvement. Now he's the decapitated head of Abe Lincoln sitting on someone's credenza as we desperately grasp at straws for television that's worth watching.
We'll try anything.
Comedy's back on ABC. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Next story says, hey guys, I hope the new year is treating you well. My story happened a few years ago when one of our friends became reclusive. We weren't too sure what was up with him because he had a habit of avoiding questions, and if you kept pestering him, he would get extremely nervous and blink constantly. We were never too sure if he was telling us the truth at times, but we all figured he may have been dealing with depression. He was into military topics, and he was also in the ROTC program in high school. Our other friends grew up with him. I actually didn't meet the guy until years after he finished college, but he was always said he planned on joining the military. We didn't talk to him too much for about a year, but eventually we convinced him to join us at a friend's place for a bonfire. He didn't really hang out with anyone there. He was playing with his phone the whole time. Our friends were texting him to turn his phone off and hang out, which we noticed as he turned to them a few times. It wasn't until we all had dinner we finally bothered sitting next to any of us. Some of our friends were drinking pretty heavily and made a few jokes that struck a nerve with him, calling him a toy soldier and various other insults. Eventually, he got so upset, he yelled at all of them. But with each reply, let out more outbursts that slowly let out the truth and why he didn't like them. Other than him saying he hated drinking and being around people who drank, he admitted that he never qualified for the military. I guess some of our other friends were contacting him over the last few years about it, and he lied to them saying he was going to deploy several times. Now, the reason why that became a big deal is because these guys served time in the military. I don't know too much about military terms, but I know they were having a heated argument, so I went to get our friend who owns the house to resolve the situation. The conversation was short. Did you tell people you were joining the military and being deployed? Yes, I did, but you never did. Well, the reason, shut up, it's a yes or no answer. Then he left. The guys who originally brought up the conversation were shouting rude comments even after he was out of sight. I would have stood up for the guy, but I'd be honest, it offended me. Still, he was an invited guest, so I had to check on him. He was still there and looked like the big bad wolf huffing and puffing in his car. Other vehicles blocked his car in the driveway. This really messed up part of in his car was blocked by those same guys he just argued with. He was upset, getting in our faces and yelling at us like he was about to fight. I told him to calm down, but after he did the opposite, I headed back to ask the guys for their keys so he could leave because they were too drunk. When I got back to the driveway, I thought my other friend beat him up because the guy was sitting down in front of his car crying. I yelled, "What the hell, Cameron? Leave him alone." As I ran to both of them, my friend held his hand up in a motion to stop and told me not to interrupt them. This guy was in tears telling us how he's tried to get out of his mom's house, but he didn't qualify for the military. He said it's been haunted for years and his mom took him to see a doctor and was diagnosed with a mental disorder. I basically thought it was bullshit and moved the car blocking him so he could leave, but he was still on the ground crying when I walked back to him. In the back of my head, it all could have been some act, but he begged us to let him stay the night. The guys who argued with him were good guys. They don't pick fights with people, but they sure as hell speak up all the time. My friend suggested we all let him tell those guys his story, and I had to explain this entire story to get around to the point. He told them a story as he cried. They let him speak for a while, then I was eventually asked if I moved the car that blocked his. They called him a crybaby, and the owner told him to leave. As soon as he left, these guys told us about their ghost stories. The oldest one there was Jim, a Vietnam vet who told us about a fellow Marine who died right next to him, which he recalls that you can see death in a man's eyes when it happens. They bunked together. Sorry for being crude, but they shared pictures of naked ladies and found ways to obtain drugs when they were there. He heard whispers of his fellow Marine's New Jersey accent throughout his time there, up until the day he was told to take cover, but ignored it, and was shot in the leg after an ambush. Jim told us he was on crutches for almost a year after it happened, and they did multiple surgeries. Gave him time to write letters to his fellow Marines' family and told them how that man saved his life. He never shared the ghost story to their family, but knew it would ease the pain and the loss of a lost loved one and a fallen soldier. The other was Dwight, which is my age group of friends who did his time in Iraq. He was on late-night duties and saw an apparition of a man near the location of a firing squad. The month he was stationed there, he said a ghost would approach him, repeating the appearance of being shot in the head. It was a bit vulgar, with describing the ethnicity of the ghost, but mentioned he asked about it and was told not to talk about it. Other people in his barracks said that they saw the same thing, but were told it was nothing but their imagination. He told us all that it's what it's made him believe in God, claiming that if he can see a piece of hell, there's no way you can deny that something brilliant created where we live. The final story was from Freddy, also in Iraq. He was working with the medical staff while on duty and some lives were lost. Obviously not his fault, but people died and it scared him. He didn't see anything innocent. What he saw was nothing but people trying to kill him. But he said they didn't talk. They didn't all have weapons, and some of them would approach him with their bare hands, and he felt the sensation of cold fingers tightening around his neck. He said there was a smell of death to it, which he described as similar to burning hair. I know he dealt with years of PTSD after he got back home. Other than the paranormal topics, he's also traumatized after seeing children die. I have a high level of respect for the men and women who serve our country, so it felt right to share the stories they told me. Sure, they're brief, but it's awesome to experience them and share those stories in any real-life scenario. That's all I have for now. Thanks for listening. Thoughts on all of that?
There's just a lot, and that's really interesting because so often people who've been in the military don't share those kind of stories.
Yeah.
Or if they do, it's only, and obviously there's other military people there, so they obviously felt safe to share. But so often those are the stories they don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And I also get why. It's kind of an interesting two-parter. I thought it was going one direction and it went a different direction. Because I thought there was going to be more about the first guy who lied about going into the military, which would be extremely offensive to a group, you know, a party full of people who are in the military or have been. So I could totally see why people got pissed at him.
Yeah.
But then that was like weird because that went in a different direction where he lived in this haunted house and that's where I thought the story was going.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't. And so it ended up, you know, being a totally different story than I thought it was going.
Yeah.
But I found it fascinating. And I absolutely could see how, I don't know how those experiences wouldn't haunt you.
Yeah.
You know?
I've heard many over the years from vets of Iraq, similar to what they just talked about here, where they see if somebody's on patrol or something at night, they see like a person walking around and it looks like they're shot and they just disappear. But for a moment, it's like, who is this guy coming, you know, that's coming towards me? And then it's like, oh my God, what the hell? And then gone, which I guess not that surprising, you know, when you're in a war zone that you would come across things like that at, you know, odd times, odd hours, and when you're least expecting it. But it also, I'm sure, would make you start to question your own sanity too, going, you know, I've been through so much shit. You know, is this a ghost or, you know, is this my mind messing with me now?
What's real, what's not?
Yeah. No.
Because, like, I can see how that kind of pressure day after day after day and some of the things that you see and deal with.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how that wouldn't affect you. And I also see how, you know, you could... You know, you hear of stories where it's kind of like a guardian angel shows up and helps or something. Like I've heard stories like that where, you know, don't know who it was, don't know what it was, never saw him again. And I don't know. There's just, I have so much respect for that. And, you know, my dad was in the Air Force. And so just knowing what it's like to be in the military, and I mean, I wasn't, but seeing it through my dad's eyes, but I have a lot of respect for those people.
Sure.
And I mean, to hear him talking like that and telling stories like that, that's something you don't hear very often.
No.
For most people like you and me.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, maybe amongst each other, but outside of the circle of, you know, those who served. I mean, because it is a difficult thing to talk about.
And that whole story is a really good reminder to all of us about what those men and women have sacrificed and have been through.
Yeah. You know, the mental toll that it takes on folks. It's unbelievable. But all right, let's go to another caller. 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hey, guys. This is Connor from Northern California. I have a lot of stories, but I think one is more interesting than the others. It involves a band that I was playing in. We toured the Midwest and ended up going to Virginia to visit this actually pretty famous A&R person from the 90s. And he invited the band to stay in his Virginia estate, which was out in the middle of the woods and a lot of property. It took a long time driving through the forest to even get to where he lived. And it was a really old 1700s war motel from what he was telling us. And immediately everybody in the band started complaining that the energy was off and things didn't feel right. And the house was really, really, it was long. It was a tall house, but not very big, if that makes sense. The rooms kind of got smaller as you went up. And stuff started happening, like we'd be sitting talking about the weird energy, and then a light would click off and right back on, and everyone would freak out. But it wasn't until that first night that we all had to stay up in the very highest room. It was just a staircase to one room, almost like a loft. And none of the house looked like it'd been renovated. It was basically like he just moved in with a bunch of music memorabilia. And on top of all the old 1700s stuff, there was paintings of old generals and stuff like that. But anyway, we're in this room, extremely hot, uncomfortable. We can't get to bed. There's insects swarming around the windows, and I know that that's never a good sign, but so the four male members of the band are up in this room, and our lead singer, who's a female, is on the floor below us in a little girl's bedroom, and the whole room is pink with all these weird stuffed animals, one being a really tall, about 4 foot old dog stuffed animal. And we're all up there for a few hours, and it's a really small room. We're all moving about it. And out of nowhere, our guitar player, Barefoot, steps in some feces. Like, I don't know if it was a dog, the owner didn't have a dog or anything. There's just some feces up there. And we all start flipping out about it. And like 5 minutes later, we hear a scream coming from the floor below us. So we all run down there, and it's our singer. And she points to the dog stuffed animal, and there's a toad sitting perfectly on its head. And it didn't even look real until I saw its neck move. So we take it and sprint it outside and left it on the front porch for the entire night. And everyone swore that no one brought a toad into her room. No one even left that room. So definitely none of us could have done it. She's not the type of girl to mess around with that stuff. And we even asked the A&R guy letting us stay there if he thought the house was haunted. And he goes, oh, yeah. One time a horse and carriage came through the living room wall, which I don't know if I believe, but seeing as all the stuff that was going on, I couldn't say I would dispel it. But yeah, it was just a really freaky place. We stayed there for 5 days and stuff kept happening. He had an abandoned barn about 200 yards away from the property or where the house was, where he didn't have any animals or wasn't farming anything. It was just sitting there. And, hay bales and all that stuff. So it was definitely a creepy aesthetic and vibe throughout the whole thing. So, that's my story. I hope to hear it on the podcast. Love listening to you guys at work. Have an awesome day.
Thanks for sharing that experience with us. God, the idea of like a horse and buggy or carriage coming through a living room, that's a creepy thought.
Like when he said that, was it like a ghost horse and buggy came through? Like they saw it, or was it like it really did happen at one point?
I think like that's what they saw, but I think it's kind of the thought processes of
it really did happen.
Yeah, like where were things at one point in time, and that's, you know, where maybe it would have crossed when it was, you know, around.
And then if you don't have a dog, where does a pile of shit come from?
Yeah.
Like, did the guy go up and take a shit on the floor? Or because most rodent-y animals, even a raccoon or something that might be in your house, isn't going to leave a big pile of it.
Yeah.
It would be a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then how does a frog get in your house and just sitting on a stuffed animal's head? Which is really strange. Like,
yeah.
Is that paranormal? Probably not. I don't know. But that's really weird.
It is.
Right after the guy steps in shit that shouldn't be there.
Oh, like, very.
That's really weird.
Yeah. Very, very bizarre.
And the guy confirmed that the house was haunted.
I like the story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Oh, wait. We never did hear if he got signed or anything. I guess
that's
they
true.
Didn't. Like, can you call back and let us know what happened?
Let
did
us
you get
know.
Signed? Did you put out an album? What? We totally didn't get that part of this.
Turned out it was you two. It was Bono. Here we go. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi. So my name is Ashley. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm actually calling in regards to an update. So I had probably about a year ago or so ago, I had called in talking about a red cardinal story. And my story is whenever in like dire times, this one red cardinal pops up in times of need and offers, I guess, like a nice little lovely feeling and calms me down. So I had reached out to a psychic and a pretty reputable one, I believe. And she confirmed that that was my father. And so the red cardinal thing kind of died down for a little bit after that. But last Friday, so probably about 3 days ago now, I had gotten into a heated conversation with my husband. And things got pretty heated. So I had walked next door to our church, because where we live in Nashville is out in the country. And so the cell phone service stops right at the church next door. So if I ever want to go and make a phone call and use cell service, not Wi-Fi, I go next door to the church. So I go next door to get like some fresh air from my heated conversation, call my family, tell them I'm about to do X, Y, and Z. It is pretty heated. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing, at this point in the conversation, I'm talking about calling the cops, just to be real. And I, at that moment in time, I happen to look over to this tree right in front of the church, and this bird, this red cardinal, is like coming down and like flying towards that tree. And it's like stopping and just looking at me with like this urgency. And this red cardinal before too, in like another situation in times of need, it would look at me with like a very concerned look. And so it's giving me that same look, and then it would hop over to the next tree, look at me, fly over. Like, it was just getting really agitated and like worried. And it kind of dawned on me. I was like, oh my goodness, that could be the red cardinal, aka my dad. Or it could just be a red cardinal. We do have red cardinals everywhere, like not everywhere, but around Nashville. So it's not uncommon, but it's also not like an abundance either. So anyway, that was my story. I just thought it was cute that it showed up again in a really urgent time of need. All right, thanks. Love the podcast. Bye.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, of course it was. And it doesn't mean it's the same red cardinal. Her dad just sent her a bird because she needed a cardinal. Mm-hmm. She needed a sign. She needed to calm down. She needed to know she was loved and that he cared. And that's what he did.
And she got it. I think that's cool. Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah. I have cardinals that just like to shit all over my windows and my mirrors on my truck.
Well, obviously somebody's sending you a message because they think that's what you need.
Oh, yeah. It's
you needed that sign of shit all over
every
your
day,
windshield.
Every day I go out there and it's like, and if cardinals are ghosts of people, then I have like all of my extended family that's dead hanging out here on my farm with me or something. Because it is like a cardinal city. You come in here and there's a whole family of them that live behind the barn. And then every time I go to my truck, there's one on each of my mirrors. And it just, I have to wash my truck like 3 or 4 times a week because the cardinals.
Obviously, the cardinal's not a sign for you.
I like the card.
Some well, people.
You know, at first, I'm like, oh, this is really great. This is awesome. Until it's like, you're just like the average bird around here, aren't you? Like, everywhere else, it's
cardinals,
rare.
Just the color is so stunning. No,
I love seeing them.
Male.
Yeah. Yeah, they are beautiful. I do. It does not get old seeing them. But it is, it's just kind of funny because I do see them so frequently. I'm like, you'd be challenged to walk out of my house and not see one within the first 30 seconds. All right.
That's awesome.
It is. It's really kind of cool. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. We greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.